What's up, world? I'd like to welcome y'all to a Drug Dealer's Dreams podcast, yo. Shit is real. We got real guests.
Yep.
Informative. Yo, my name G.
I'm Benny Blanco. You know, for those of you who lived it, can relate to it, seen it, heard it, felt it, been through it, it's for you.
Yo, we gonna have real convo, real guests, real just back and forth with me and my guy, man. Sit back, enjoy the ride, man. Drug Dealer's Dreams.
Word. If you're tuning in for gossip, tune out.
All right.
So, another episode of Drug Dealer's Dreams, man. I'm G.
Benny.
Good. Got Dre. We got special guests, man. Like we do this show, try and get to the world of a different mind state that is. You know, I think back in the days, you know, we was heavy in our era, 5%, right? 85% was, they said, was pretty much on bullshit, uncivilized, right? Yeah. I think right now we like 5%. It's like it's a no disrespect to religion at all, but it's like it's a lot of bullshit out here. So it's up to the 5% to keep spreading that word, let you know there's dudes like us still here, and we got a powerful dude in there with Dre here, man. Blessed to have you with us, bro.
Thanks, man. Thank you for having me.
Definitely. Dre originally from Boston, right? Let's give a little backstory. Dre from Boston. Did 10 years.
Yeah,
fed or state?
No, state.
Did 10 years in the state. Came home. Turned his life around, man. Wrote a book. Write his down. Got a lot of other things going on, so we can get to it. Let's go. From Boston. Born and raised?
Born and raised, Roxbury, man.
Roxbury.
Boston's different.
Break it down. Like okay.
Right. Yeah, break it down. Clarify, like, the funny thing that I want, you brothers from Syracuse, so y'all probably have some familiarity with our region, but the thing that I realize is that a lot of people don't really understand how Boston even got a hood. They say to me, a lot of people say to me, oh, they got black people up there.
They say that to us, because you're not from New York City, or you're not from whatever, but they don't understand.
They don't understand, but you know what? Maybe I can bring a little levity to that and get them to understand. Like, at the end of the day, we're 2 hours from New York.
I personally know.
Roxbury is Brooklyn. Roxbury, yeah. But the thing about Boston that's so unique is just the institute. A lot of the institutes of higher learning are there.
Right.
Policing is very intense. Smart-ass white boy cops doing things to try to take the brothers down.
Why do you think it gets the perception like it ain't no hood city?
I mean, I feel like because, and I'm going to keep it all the way 100, I think the drug era really intensified in two regions in the United States initially, Northeast, out West. So what I mean by that is early on, 80s, we were doing things a little bit quicker than other on the cocaine scene. Cocaine. This is not a glorification, just a little clarification.
So, Boston's a poor city. So, when you hit a certain level, did you have to go out of town? Did you have to go to New York?
Yeah, like.
So, you
like,
had to take that trip as well?
Yeah, well, the way I came in and I was introduced to it, funny shit, I was a basketball player, a star basketball player in high school. So I tried to, you know, get a little job. I got a job at the Western Hotel. Get a job at the Western Hotel. I'm like, I'm a valet, I'm good. I'm about to graduate high school, go to college, get a degree, all that type of shit.
That's you wasn't even fucking with the street shit.
Let me stop you. You know, some niggas say, y'all, man, nice and basketball. Right.
Yeah.
It's all this shit.
Yeah,
so nigga
might be. Yeah, yeah. I put my sister on anyone question and be your sister can beat a nigga ass in basketball. Yeah. Chances are you pretty good.
Tell everybody, how tall is you, man?
I'm 6'4".
6'4", about 250.
Yeah, 250.
So just the end of the mind state of you at this time, right?
Yeah.
Of course, you're seeing it around you in your neighborhood. You're seeing who making money. Who not? And I know you kind of get in all. Basketball players, they always get a certain amount of like privilege. Like a certain older drug dealers, they're gonna try to deter you from certain shit. Nah, you can hoop, don't do this shit. Like, or they might put you under their wing and try to curve you the wrong way. Like, what kind of influences would you have?
Well, my situation was a little different because my father was such an icon in the crunk. Like, my father was a bank robber. He was on FBI top one.
He looked like Chad Williams.
Why does that shit happen in Boston? Like, the movie The Town? Like, y'all
No. This is the real shit. I mean, the white boys vicious with that drive robber bank shit.
Wow. So that's the Southeast?
Like, that's exactly. Charlestown.
Yeah, okay.
That's, listen, they hold hood. That's what they do. Like, you know how you got some hoods and, yo, you gotta sell coke.
Yeah.
You do it. Charlestown, from the age of 8, them white boys be like, look, we gonna rob a bank.
Mm.
And that's what they old heads put them on. Like, yo, dude, fuck all that. We got a plan for you.
Okay.
But,
That's great.
Really, but my situation was a little different because my father was a bank robber. And he was kind of iconic in the city. You know, a lot of people knew him, so I was the son of a gangster already. No one really came at me. It was more like, yeah, just play ball to you, fuck it, you're good. And see, back then, Boston's a sports city. So the respect back then, before the cocaine game really hit,
sports.
It was like sports, like they respect you if you was a baller. Like, you play ball, you was like you the rapper now. You the Migos now back then.
Yeah.
Without the bread, you feel what I'm saying? Stop.
You know, the crazy thing is, when you look back at that era, when that dream ended, is a lot of, and I ain't even trying to assume nothing on your story, because I could be dead wrong, but when that basketball dream dies, that's when the drug dealer's dream starts.
Exactly.
You know
exactly.
What I'm saying? Exactly.
You know what?
It's just common.
In my opinion, it's because the monetary gain that you get from basketball could only be achieved by certain means from our culture.
Right.
So if you was looked at as the next basketball NBA motherfucker with NBA vibe, and you don't get there, then in your mind you say, shit, I gotta figure out a way to get there.
Right, how you supposed to stop?
I'm not gonna fall off. I'm not gonna stop fucking with bad joints and getting the respect I'm getting.
Like,
I'm gonna figure this out.
Like Fifth said, damn, homie. How you supposed to listen? Damn, what the fuck happened to you?
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
Real talk.
That's like a hard pill to swallow. Like, that's a story in itself. Like, when you was ill in high school, you thought you was that dude. You the most popular kid, or you the basketball player, or whatever. And after that, you don't do nothing. You looked at it as a failure almost the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Being tall.
Yeah.
Simple shit like that, because you were getting more attention.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That motherfucker better make you big for it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like...
You hear that a lot.
Yeah. You gotta do something. So you in high school, you're hooping, and of course you got aspirations for college or something to go play ball.
What happened?
So I get this job at the Western Hotels in Valet. And Roxbury has this reputation, so the white boy, he's the doorman. The doorman's the first person that greets you when you come to that hotel. The Western Hotel back then was like prestigious as hell. It was the first one, like, it was prestigious. Like, Rolling Stone niggas used to stay in there, that type of stuff. Like, long story short, he approached me one day, said, he's from Roxbury. Yeah, why, whatever. He's like, you wanna get some coke? Come on, like some drugs. I'm like, this nigga trying to set me up.
Yeah. He just assumed that you're from Roxbury.
Yeah, but I get it.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna act like the victim, like, oh, God, I'm black. Listen, man. They knew who to ask for certain shit. It's just what it is. You asked an Indian for an arrow back then. I'm just saying. So long story short, man, I turned it down first time, second time, like, yo, man, what you need, man? And I wasn't even in the drugs, but I just knew everybody mad.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I need an ounce.
You need an ounce?
Man, so I throw a number at him, 1500. And back then, ounce was probably about 600. I can get it for like 6.
Mm.
I threw a white boy number at him, it was like 1500. Bet.
This is a rap.
This is a rap. This is a rap. last year was senior. Just got my license. You know what I mean? I was just barely able to drive. And then I ended up going in the game because all my customers were white. Rolling Stones, Titan. This is where all of the celebrities from in television and music would stay. Like, it was that type of show. So he would be like, look, man, I need this and this and this.
So Pause, right? Moby Casino, right? When Ginger is plugged in with everybody, you the male, you linked in, and all the stuff.
I get it, yeah.
You ain't on
but the But I'm not doing it. I'm just giving it to him. He's Ginger.
Regardless. Yeah, he is.
I'm just like,
you Ginger plug.
I mean, exactly.
Fact.
No, but it's crazy because it's such a reflection of the times, right? Mm-hmm. You're avoiding your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You're not a victim of circumstance. You're not falling into bullshit in your environment. You're not standing on the corner. You went and got a legitimate gig, but the shit went up too.
Yeah.
Because it was that powerful at the time.
It was the time. It was the era the third most powerful era, man, for a black man in history, I promise you, because it affected us. It affected our family. It affected. I remember a day in which if you said something about someone's mother in any type of derogatory manner, you would get dealt with. Not only by
what years is we talking about?
You know, 88, okay. 89.
The heart of the crack.
The real shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like at the beginning, I should say. And long story short, motherfuckers actually lost respect for their own mom. Started talking bad about your own mother. And if you think of that, when you come from a time in the era where I come from, like, that was unheard of. And that started the transition of disrespect when it comes to the hierarchy within families and communities that decimated principle.
Because that first transaction decimated your principal.
That's right.
Because you made more money that day than your house made.
Exactly.
And you didn't even understand.
In 2 weeks, because back then, $150 a week was a check back then.
Right. So you bought it for six, sold it for
made
six.
About, made you about $900 on one move.
And you went home and it made you question every single thing you've been told.
Exactly.
So now I know. Whoever you go see in Roxbury, mm-hmm. they know you, they know your pops. Mm-hmm. They know this isn't what you're used to. I know after you come get your third, fourth, fifth pounds, they're like, yo, what you doing?
Yo, real talk, I kept it low. Because back then, like, keeping things low was how you did that. That's how you did that. Like, it took a long time for anyone to understand, damn, how Dre got three TVs, man? Looking at all three of them. I'm doing like goofy shit as a little dude.
Yeah.
I got a water bed. I got the twin size water bed.
I still got a little water bed.
I got the post
mom water bed.
Listen, so my mom, right? My mom had a master's degree and everything. My mom was special. Like, she did her thing. And she ain't like, she was dating when I was conceived, her man was a bank robber. They was riding around robbing banks up and down the East Coast, real shit. So
she was with
them? Yeah, like, but she wasn't.
I know what you're saying, but she
that was his girl. The drug dealer's girl, that's what it was. She didn't really, as I transitioned into my game, she was so busy working, she wasn't expecting, she did such a good job with me, she wasn't expecting this.
At all.
She wasn't expecting it, so it took her even a while. I remember the day she found out, it's the funniest shit, man. Like, I got this TV. Y'all remember, this is shit called Hitachi. She was crazy. Back in the day.
Remember Martin episode?
The Hitachi TVs was like the shit back then. Like, a TV was a major issue back then.
Definitely.
So, I got one TV.
Drum with the big back.
Big back, sure. But the shit was, you know, long story short, I got one TV in the crib. How she found out was, I go get this Hitachi TV. But my mom respected me. I had a house, like we lived in a house.
Yeah.
She never used to come in my room and she wasn't Snoopy. So I had this TV in the room with my other TV that I already had. I had them both hooked up, right? So I'm watching two channels at once. This is before the cable, like,
start.
So I'm bringing choice to, man, you know, like, I had, you know, I didn't have a whole bunch of choice. There's one or two I liked a lot. A couple of homeboys coming through, so that's a big thing. They got two TVs. My mom knocked on the door one day. She hit two TVs going, I'm watching two games. So she knocked on the door like, what game are you watching? Why is this, like, so much going on? Like, it was live.
Yeah.
Got two TVs, man. She opened the door looking at it. Looking at that television. And she shook her head. She looked at me like this, looked at the television, looked at me, and she knew I worked at the Western. But she knew I was getting paid off tips. This TV was like fucking at the time. I guess it would be equivalent about a $4,000 TV nowadays.
Right, right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Curved, flat.
Yeah, you know what I mean? She like, she just looked at me and shook her head and walked out. But she gave me that mother look.
Yeah.
They're like, nigga,
I don't know. Fuck you.
Yeah.
How you crank up to where you end up facing time in prison and all that?
Okay, so, long story, I just started supplying the city, doing things, you know what I mean? I became that guy. My father ended up he's a changed man now. He would make sure I said that, but my father ended up being my first connect when he found out and okay. I was afraid of him.
When what age did he come home? How old were you when he came home?
My father came home in 75, so I was 7 years old.
Oh, but he didn't go back?
No. He was...
He came home changed?
No.
No, because he was your connect. So how he stayed... That's the illest shit. It's hard to stay free that long when you're doing bullshit.
Well, back then, when he was in the feds, homie, like, when he was in the feds, like, you learned how to be a better criminal when you came home. He was locked up with people, like I said, John Brody.
Every episode we got.
Well, the major.
One day on my episode.
Yeah, like, he literally learned how to be a better criminal and how to manipulate his money in other avenues so that he was under the radar.
So he sees his son popping, and then he faces a real decision. Do I deter from it, or do I at least...
Or
I
can't even think about it. He might not even thought about it.
He might not have, but...
He see he has another, my son turn it up, let me get in on that, right. So I can get some of this check.
Or he's like, yo, I got to pick the best of two negatives, maybe I could guide him a little bit and at least take some of that friction that's going to hit him head on. Because you ain't know what you was in for. Because you didn't take the natural progression. You wasn't a block.
Wasn't like a block hand in hand.
Right. And so some dudes ain't feeling you.
Yeah.
We had a dude, we leave his name anyway. Yeah. I'll tell you about it later. But when niggas wasn't respected dudes who started off selling weight, your parents was lit,
right.
All of a sudden,
right.
You selling weight. Nigga, you ain't even selling dogs.
You ain't even grown.
Like that, I don't respect how he got it right here. He up. But yeah. Niggas start off selling weight.
Right.
People got a settlement, and he just bought bird, nigga, you on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right, you fast forward and you supply the city, but where is the pushback from niggas not respecting how you got it in? It gotta be like, damn, Gray was a basketball nigga, all of a sudden you got to work. Like, real shit. Like, you ain't come up on goon time, like, on some keep it real shit. Like, had to be some haters in the way, like.
Well, you know, every city has its personality. Mm-hmm. And Boston had its personality. And because the white communities did so well, we embraced any opportunity in the black community to do well. So if Dre wasn't going to be a basketball player and he was a dope boy, a coke boy, then I'm going to fuck with Dre because he's going to help me get right and we're going to change our situation.
So they seen you had something that was working.
Exactly.
And they was fucking.
Yeah, they fucked with me hard. Like, it wasn't even no pushback on that. Okay.
So what happened? How do you get with your pops to be like that? I'm buying a quarter bird or I'm buying that bird. Like,
yo, I listen. The craziest shit. So,
This inner city shit, my pops is the plug.
Well, long story short, man, I wasn't even, I just was selling to the hotel and the white people at a level to where, once my mom found, I bought a car. How I messed up was I bought a car. And when I bought this car, my father didn't even live in Boston. I didn't bring that in. He was moving around the states. He was everywhere. He was moving.
What kind of car?
A Mustang. A Mustang.
Your pops hustling in all these states. He moving around.
Yeah,
all
right. Yeah, it's not doing this shit. He was more like, you know, my father. He was more like a player. Like he wasn't into the. If he wasn't in drugs, like my father fuck with the bitches here, there.
Yeah.
The motherfucking extortion here, there.
Yeah.
The drugs here. My father was just a player. He just fucking. He was just doing all this shit. With him, he found out that I was moving because I bought this car. But he came into town and I already had the car. But I had already prepared myself. I was afraid of my father. Like, I was afraid of him. Like,
he didn't have a Honda Civic.
Yeah, I had a Mustang. And that would probably be what the
Benz. Coupe
right now. Some shit. Benz and stuff right now. So it was major. And so he was just like, yo, what you doing?
This all off the Western Hotel.
All off the Western Hotel.
Damn, that's your block.
Like, I wasn't even fucking with the hood at all. That's the crazy part.
So you was ready to go to work. You love.
I was taking my money, stashing my bread, putting that uniform on, and going back. It was like the beginning of the coke being the next phase.
I kind of want you to. I'm gonna stop. Like some people from Mass City, or people who never even sold drugs, think dope and coke is the same thing.
Like they be like, "We're a dope fiend," right?
Right.
That's the difference. Dope. We talking about heroin.
Yeah.
Coke, we're talking about cocaine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I want people to be knowing the difference. Some people watch our journey.
Yeah, they don't know.
If we get comments, like, can you please explain?
You explain the lingo of it.
Right? Yeah.
Dope is dope heroin. You know what I'm saying? And that's a whole different
that's
level.
A different
and the repercussion is how severe cocaine was. Like you said, your clientele, you weren't looking at them like, dope fiend motherfuckers, you wasn't doing that. This shit was.
They trying to have fun.
Right. It was a legion drug. Yeah, it was a legion drug. Dope fiend was a necessity.
Right.
Cocaine was there. Let's party. Let's turn up.
Yeah.
Right. Was it still a high end drug at this time? Like,
oh, it was very high end.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, definitely. Party time is a white man drug.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
When the crack came in, that's when it came to poor man's drug.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, because it was cheaper and you could get high for a long time. Right? You know what I mean?
Actually, real talk, like in the black community at this time, cocaine wasn't even that popular. It was like just starting to, let me try this shit. It was weed or dope. Either you had the leisure drug, the fun drug was the weed, or the habit and the demise and the destroying drug was the dope. So the dope was where it was at. So I came along in the era to where.
So it makes sense a little bit how you was able to stay low.
Yeah. That's what it was. It wasn't even, I was under the radar because it wasn't even the factor yet.
Fact.
Gotcha.
You feel what I'm saying?
Alright, so, alright. What happens with your pops?
So he pulls up, he comes in the city, he sees the V, he's like, yo, let me talk to you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, this thing gonna swing on me.
All time.
I'm already like, man, fuck that. I'm getting
is
this.
Is he
paper.
A tall nigga?
I got, yeah, my father's 6'5".
Okay. Okay. That's
problem. And you think I got a deep voice? This shit's twice as deep.
Hey, he's
in
full
blown.
He's like, you come in.
Bad time. Yo, OG niggas grabbing. Yo, where your father? Like, I could tell by the love and the reverence they gave him trying to deal with me. I knew that he was no joke. So I knew it. And I caught a couple of times when I see them on the demonstration shit as little niggas. So I knew. But long story short, like, this nigga about to swing on me. So I'm like, I played him. I said, yo, you see the car? Let's go for a ride. So to keep from getting in the crib and us beefing.
Yeah, long ride.
I'm at a point now that, like, you know what? I'm a grown ass nigga in my heart. This, it had been rocking for about, I had just turned 19. You feel what I'm saying? So now I'm a man in my mind. I don't see him a lot.
No,
he respects the fact that I don't see him a lot.
Right.
He respected that. So he makes like, I can't just come in and monster this nigga. I got to talk to him, try to see what's going on. But me not trusting and me thinking he gonna swing, I said, yo, let's get in the car, man. Let's ride. So we get in the car, I'm riding, I'm doing the side of the booth. She's talking about, yeah, 5.0, see how fast this is?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, he just looked at me like, yeah, this is something.
Don't me why I'm driving.
Yeah, they don't drive, what you gonna do?
Hey, y'all too tall to both.
Yeah, exactly. No, you know what's crazy? Yeah, you know what's crazy? That, you know what? That's a whole nother story, we gotta talk about it. But long story short, we ended up back at the crib. Couldn't avoid it no more. We stopped Gossamine, get back in the crib. I walk in the crib, he walk in with me. He said, all right, so fuck all the bullshit. Like, what are you doing? Like, I said, working in the West. He said, man, come on, man. Who you talking to? Like, what are you doing? I said, what the fuck are you going for? I said, I'll be right back. Went upstairs, had like, I think it was like 440 rocks, like 40s, because I would sell 40s.
Yeah.
And get bread too. So I said, yo, this is what I'm doing.
How much was it for? What kind of weight was it for?
Back then it was 0.4 grams.
$0.4 grams.
Straight. $10. Yeah. Like $10 a point.
Straight.
Points for the repairs. That's what it was. That's what it was. It's a So I passed it to him. He looked at me. He said, yo, didn't I tell you, like, in life you can't have stuff with nothing you do? Like, so, unbeknown to me, he had already got some drugs. Okay. So he went to his car. He didn't tell me. He went to his car.
He knew what you was
doing. He walked out the door. He said what he said. He walked out the door. He knew what I was doing. Yeah. In hindsight, walked out the door, went to his car, got a bag, came back in, and went up to my room.
And he an older nigga. So he know
my son ain't moving right.
Let me get him right.
You know, he pulled the bird out of the bag and tell you ain't popping.
That nigga pulled out. Yeah, that's what he pulled out. No, he pulled out a nine. He put out
a nine.
250 a quarter on me. So he's like, look, we went up in the room because our first initial transaction, I went up and grabbed the work, came down, I showed him. He went to the car, went in the room, brought the bag upstairs, we in the room. He's like, look, now he's secretive. Now he's like, look, this is Mother Pearl. Take this bag, it's in 7 grams. I mean, 7 grams, 7 quarters, 8 balls, ounces. When you're ready, you want some more, call. That's how it started.
In different households, this is, goes down differently. You know what I'm saying?
I thought it was.
In a good white man's household, this is, I got these stocks, these
bonds. It's the same shit.
Yeah. You're gonna own this corporate business, be the CEO, run. This is prison all the way. Like, this is, you gonna pop for 2-3 years. If you get longer than that, you're gonna be rich.
Right.
But you're going to jail. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the difference is with the CEO is you could be rich forever. You're gonna build wealth and equity with your businesses. But in this, in a city household, is death, destruction, death, jail, prison. Pick one.
Do you look back at that now? And we definitely now fast forward to the end of your story because I know you got a lot to say.
Right?
And I don't even know the relationship with your pops, but I know how serious every man's relationship with their father is. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So looking back on that, did you look like his intentions was like showing you love, or was his intentions, was they corrupted already?
Nah, like, I felt like he was like, yo, he gonna do it anyway. He already doing it, man. I gotta support him because I can't stop him. Like, I think he knew that once I got a certain amount of money and I felt that lifestyle, that nothing was going to satisfy me. But,
you know, it's crazy that I gotta say that real quick. It's crazy that you say that because I heard that so many times coming in and out of different households, even with young ladies, right? Like, mothers that'll let you stay the night. Knowing you're smashing their daughter, right? They'll say,
at a young age.
They'll say, well, you might be able to smoke weed in the room. They'll say, I know she's gonna do it anyway. I'm just glad
she's doing it at home.
Right. So it's that mentality of parents in that generation was real. It was like an acceptance of, I know this shit is too powerful out there. At least I'm in tune with what's going on and have some type of guidance. But sure, it was a defeatist mentality. It was like, yo, I'm not more powerful than the shit going on.
Right, but see, but at the end of the day, as being a father, you a father now, right?
Yeah, okay.
You know the illest part about it is like he fast forward you though. Like he turned you up.
Definitely.
Like you would have been cool doing your 40s and getting your TVs and your cars and shit. Mm-hmm. But
he sped you up 2-3 years fast. Yeah. Going nine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might be buying two zips right now. Give me a nine.
Well, what I think that was that due to his criminal history, he knew that petty crime would probably, I would be in more jeopardy if I was selling dime for dime rather than bird for bird. Meaning, like, if you selling birds, then you may have five niggas selling birds to. If you selling dimes, you selling to 100 crackers.
Yeah, yeah. Right. You got more opportunity to get.
You know what I'm saying? So I think it was his way of putting me on a level of insulating me from
the degrees of separation from that body parts that you would have put off.
And we had conversations about that after, in hindsight. And that was his intention. It wasn't like, he was like, yo, of course you're going to make bread off because he ain't getting for the same number.
Of course.
He gave me to it. And I respect it, but at the same time, it's like, yo, what the, you know, I knew where this shit was going.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. How long did you run before you catch your first job?
Okay, so 88, I caught my first, I had a good run. Because, like you said, I learned it, but I got my first job in 91. Okay. So I had a 3-year run. That's a good
run. Hustling.
Head down.
Good run, 3 years.
Yeah.
That's a good
just
run.
Just getting money for three years?
That's a good run. All right. It's a good run. And ironically, that was.
See, hold on. People watching this were like, 3 years, I ain't shit.
Right.
See, because they're not calculating the money, but at the end of the day, they speaking from a citizen aspect. It's not a long run because you feel like in 3 years, you do 10 years or however, is it worth it? You know what I'm saying? So you think about it yourself too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, damn, I'm running for 5 years, I'm running for 3 years. I done got all this money, but damn, I wish I was home.
You risking your life. That's the only game in that era. You risk your life when you sleep. Because they going to come in. Police, niggas. Like, not no sneak thieving, not no techno.
Yeah. Real live, boom. This day and era is different. Right. Yeah, niggas get shot and all that, but niggas was coming to the alley tying up your mom. Yeah. Like, real live facts.
Yeah.
All right, so, catch a charge 91. What's your charge?
Okay, so my charge is trafficking cocaine conspiracy. But the crazy part, the illest part is, they only got a little bit of the work. But on the state charges, they just started the mandatory minimum shit. So where they said, okay, 100 grand. All right, so in my state, it was this. If you got caught with 14 grams or better, that was 5 years. That once you got the 14 grands, it was considered trafficking.
It's out of control.
Trafficking.
14 grams. Which I want a half an ounce.
Listen, a half an ounce was 5 years mandatory.
Wow.
A ounce was 7 years mandatory. After the 28 grams or more,
10.
It was like this. Let me see. 14 years was 5 years. 14 to 28 was 7 years. 28 to 100 was 10 years. 100 to 250 was 15 years.
Mm.
So this is the crazy part. So they caught me with. I felt within a 10-year guideline. Well, at the time, my 91, so I was about 22, 23. Right. No women, 88, 22, going on 22, going on 22. Right. But I caught the case, and I bailed out, and I got convicted of the case in 94.
Okay.
You feel what I'm saying? Okay. So, I bailed out.
Did you go to trial or you plead?
I went to trial. I mean, it was only me. Like, a dude there, by turning on me.
It was only you?
Yeah, it was only me. Like, basically, like,
hold on.
I was pulled over? Yeah, I got pulled over. All right, so I got lined up by this cat.
Yourself?
No. What I did was, I was a rapper. I started rapping. And because I had a little popularity, I knew some people in New York. I met some people. I had a deal on the table with some people. Right. Okay? So, this dude that was in my group, we had three rappers. Dude was in my group. He was a clown. He caught an assault charge. We in serious negotiations, about to sign this deal. Yeah. I'm about to leave the game alone, bread up. It's a whole different game. It's 91. It's like, you know, 500 SECs, all that shit.
Big boy benches,
all that shit's around.
You feel like you're about to go boss up.
Yeah, so I ain't even.
So you're Boston and Benches.
Benches, yeah. SEC.
You hot?
Yeah.
Well, you're hot.
Well, you're definitely hot.
Know what though? Know what though? You know why I wasn't hot? Because Boston was into the gang violence. Like, a lot of people don't understand, like, they were more concerned with the killing in Boston at the time than it was the drug dealer in Boston at the time.
Did you transition into hard? You wasn't transitioning to crack?
No, I just saw those bricks. They did what they did when they cooked it.
Okay, so we on the bricks now. That's
yeah, we bricks.
But you still maintain, like, that, those degrees of separation that your pops kind of...
Yeah,
I was... kind of solidified you in that role.
Well, you know, the beautiful thing about, if there was a beauty in it, you couldn't get to the real club back then unless you was introduced by the right person. If you asked the wrong question about the club back then,
for all our
then
Boston,
you was...
Right, for all of Boston.
Bostonians.
Bostonians. Right. There you go. What's popping right now? You in the Benzes, you obviously doing your thing. What's going on in Boston right now?
It's LOG and the Bulldogs popping at this
So, this is really what it was. At the end of the day, like, Boston was neighborhoods. This hood versus this hood versus this hood. Every hood had to supply themselves, get their bread. I was aligned. I supplied hoods. I was moving my thing. What Boston was doing was gangbanging, was popping. And Ed O.G. was never considered a violent person. He was a cool cat. RSO, on the other hand, was backed by a couple of the more violent gangs in the city.
As you get to that.
Yeah, and they kind of intimidated in a strong-armed way, and that was our lifestyle back then.
Right, no snitching, though.
Yeah.
Benzino was getting it in.
Nah, he was a rapper. He was a DJ.
Okay.
He wouldn't even tell you, like, he wouldn't even...
Not saying anybody ever said that, but it's just...
No, I know him, and, you know, like, he knows me, and I ain't, you know... I'm going to tell you what it was with him. He wasn't no punk, no faggot, none of that shit. He was a cool dude who was a rapper. He aspired to be a rapper. But the niggas around him was violent, so at the end of the day, violent shit happened around him. But he wasn't...
So he could really... If anything happened to him, or if he was like, yo, get that nigga...
That's going to happen.
I know, it's crazy, like, the way you talk about it. It's just reminiscent of the era, because we younger than you, but we came up, we was influenced by
and that era,
yeah, right? Mm-hmm. And you talk about like how police was trying to stop the gang shit and all this, but you making all this money. Yo, the violence, the bully was respected so crazy back then, right? It was like almost like the money, it wasn't as powerful as the violence.
I go for that. Because everybody was like, he getting money. But
the violent dudes, the shooters, or whatever you want to call them, it was a super level of respect. Mm. Whereas to now, it's just like money or nothing.
Money is the ruler right now, which is crazy because we was talking about this before. It's just like, dudes don't respect character no more.
Yeah.
He getting money. I don't give a fuck. He could have snitched on a nigga. He could have did all this bullshit, but he getting money. So you all niggas disrespecting Mr. Money.
You think that gangster shit was just like that was the only respectable character?
Now you know what it is. It was a lot less snitching. It was the fact that shit might happen to you, bro. You know what I'm saying? Now it's like I'm gonna tell on you. Yeah. So if he halfway. Through the bullshit, you going down. Yeah. That's the difference. It's actually that's the real shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Niggas don't fear you because they quick to call the police and nothing's gonna happen to me for calling the police.
I would tell you another thing. Like, and you know, I feel how I feel. But anyway, I remember when I came up, there was like one gay nigga in the hood, Gay Kirby. I know his name to this day. Kirby was fly as a mother. I don't know what Kirby thought.
Check this out though.
It's the crazy part. I said that to say this, not to put disrespect anything any motherfucker. What I'm saying is this was, it was only one. The reason why
these characters are accepted now.
I'm gonna be glad niggas on us.
Yo, nah, because it's it's an analogy. These niggas gotta understand it's numbers. It's a numbers game. The reason why they're accepted now is because instead of the one snitch, it's a thousand of them. So they got their own crew. They got it's accepted there. So now I use it now because now so many gay people now that it's accepted more. Right. Like you don't know these niggas' name because it's like it's a million of them. So
right, and they outnumber
now that's why it's accepted. Yeah,
they outnumber.
We are
we're a minority.
Yeah,
I go for that
real shit. So that in that aspect, that's why nowadays it's accepted. And to get back to your point about, you know, the shooters and the gorillas, like, at the end of the day, the wolves got to be fed. It's true. You know what I mean? You had to keep fed. But you do come from an era which usually the drug dealer back then had to bust his gun. Like, they were multi.
At some point.
Like, we wasn't, nigga, okay, if you come to get it, we're going to bust that gun too. Right. So it was like, you know, kind of a mixture.
Alright, so you catch a charge, you go to trial by yourself, no codies.
Yeah.
How do you get roped? Like what's the, how do they convict you? In a state, it's hard to be, state you can be the state.
I decided to have snitches, but I had a code. I didn't have no codies, I had snitches.
That's the term. Okay, let's talk.
They were snitching.
I said that because it was like, I was telling you to have you. So, alright, no codies, but you got rats on your case.
Yeah.
What are they saying? They bought drugs from you?
Yeah,
like you get pulled over with the drugs, but all of a sudden it's all time.
Yeah, well, I didn't get the crazy part was I got pulled over. I didn't have no drugs on me, but the rat ass dude, he had the drugs on him, and
but he's not.
He's working with them. He's telling them, look, he go to drugs, but the rest are down the street, the crib. So
let's rap.
If you go hit the lame nigga who just caught the soft shit, so he's like. Yo,
you work
they put pressure on him, yeah. So he's basically working for him and lining me up, and I didn't know it.
And it all stemmed from an assault.
Yeah, and it really all stemmed from them. It's like some shit happened a couple of months before that where they found out who the fuck I was. And when they found out who I was, they had a hard on, no pause. They was trying to get at me. So they used him to do it. I was a target at that point. In 91, I was a target. And it was because things were happening in the city and my name was coming up and bags were getting, you know, knocked. And people are getting on trains, getting hit with packages and giving my name up.
At this point.
Yeah, they giving my name up, but the police never had no actual case on me.
You know what usually happens? You start taking, well, it's like a snowball effect.
Damn,
like it's just right. Right. This nigga done did bullshit. I done took a loss. Somebody got broke. You know what I mean? It usually ends on that. All right. So, catch the charge. What are you charged with?
Conspiracy, trafficking cocaine in excess of 100 grams. But they was trying to give me 15 years. And the only reason why I ended up getting 15 years was because they had the drugs in the car versus the drugs in the house, and he was trying to put them together. That shit got blocked. Glad.
So you get the 10.
I got 10 years, man.
How much of it? You got to do the whole time?
I did every fucking 3,650 days.
Now you come home, you're on parole?
Nah, this is man.
You maxed out?
Maxed out. That's the bad, the good and the bad.
That's the good and the bad.
When you're on a mandatory, that means you do all your time in prison, and then when you're done with everything, then go on about your business.
See, that, so you that's don't have to too. That's in Massachusetts, and the feds is 10-year mandatory minimum. You do 10 years, you get good time, you get 85% of the 10.
Yeah, but then
you still get 5 years
parole. Yes.
Federal supervised release, which is out of control. It's like you got 15.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you come home, are you keep it real? You like, I'm back to my bullshit.
While I'm away, I was involved in individuals doing music. So they were blowing up. Source Award, like the Source magazine, they were blowing up.
That happened when I stopped you. I hate it. They always hate when I stop you. Now this you talk about the Source Awards, you talk about Benzino. Are you and Benzino cool? Are y'all growing up? Are y'all around the same age? Y'all go to school together?
No. He's older than me. He's older than me by about 4 or 5 years, some shit like that. But that's the good people. Like I don't view him like the dude who owned the Source. I view him
before all of that.
Yeah, like
we got. How did you get in contact with him after you come out? Like
he knew I was coming home.
Okay.
So it was like the city. Yeah, the city knew I was coming home. And I actually talked to him before I came home, and he had already invited me to the Social Wars and come on down and fuck with me, want to show me a good time and all that.
Wow.
I mean, so, yeah. So.
Do we throw you bread? Man, ain't even
I wouldn't accept nobody bread. I'm a man. I feel
how you live.
But long story short, like, and I put a little bread up, so I came home with some bread.
Still after 10?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people do a lot of time, but their mom steal the money, their girl steal the money. Like
I lost my mom during the bid, so unfortunately, I know it's cool. I lost her in 97, so I wasn't in long. So what I did was, it's like I transferred what money that they knew about, because everybody didn't know about all my bread. Not even my dupes, like I wasn't telling anybody all my bread.
Okay.
But I put enough in their hands to make sure everybody was good and all that. And then, so I transferred it from my mom to my daughter's mom. My daughter's mom's mom. And she's basically, to this day, like my mother. Okay. Even though me and her daughter ain't been together forever, we're more like sister and brother. But what I'm saying is, like, she's definitely, she stepped up and made sure that all the things were handled when I was away. Basically, with my financial manager when I was locked up.
You a beast. Yeah, the only reason I said that because it's mad story, mine included, is somebody fucked something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm blessed, man. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. I deserve it.
Came home pop.
I was blessed.
You hear me? I'm talking about super pop. Like, and that's, you definitely was blessed. You know what I'm saying? 10 years. We in Atlanta right now. How do you get to Atlanta?
I bought my house in Atlanta 3 days
before. Saying.
No, I'm telling you what happened.
Rothschild to Atlanta. How did you get to Atlanta, bro? You buy a house and shit.
Three days before the thing, incident happened, I was already coming. I was coming because of the music shit.
Right.
I was already coming because of racing with my brother, with the dealing with the label and all that. The music shit had already made me plan to leave.
Yeah, you popping, you legit.
Mm. And I come here on some music shit. I don't know none of these. Nobody.
Yo, is your past following you at this point? Somehow, people reaching out to you on, I don't know, saying you may owe them something or they trying to put
look out for the hood.
Right,
well, you made it.
My guys, for my set, I've done so much for them that I owe nobody on me. But I did a lot for my people. Like, I'm one of them guys. I'm not a selfish dude. Like, you know, when we get into what I do now, you realize money don't move me. Like, it's principle. I'm a principles guy. So, if I fucked with you, you know, if me and you had a one-on-one, you would know this thing, Dre, was an asset. He wasn't no liability. I fucked with him. And when he come and call, I got to go fuck with him. And that's the way I wanted to do it.
Okay.
So I didn't have none of them issues, thankfully.
So you come home on some music shit. Well, come here on some music shit. You don't know nobody.
Well, who did I know at the time?
Nobody.
Oh, this kid. Yo, you know what's crazy? This kid in the Don. Y'all familiar with the kid Tommy Hill from Philly?
I heard he was hot, though.
Yeah, listen.
Keep it up. I heard he was
don't keep it. I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. It's crazy shit. So I went to Philly, like, when I first came home and started fucking the music shit, I was fucking with some state property niggas in Philly. So I had knew some people in Philly. So a certain person I knew in Philly ended up coming down to Atlanta. My brother said, yo, he's gonna leave Dre alone with this aftermath shit, start our shit. We going here. The South started popping. Houston was popping, Miami was popping, Atlanta was popping. So my brother said, bro, pick one of them cities, man. Let's fuck around with it. Let's bring the shit south. We need everybody. Def Jam South. Yeah, this one South. South. Oh, they started all that started popping back. Yeah. So we like, all right, we gonna do us. We say, all right. So I come down here, and my relationships in Philly knew someone who had a house down here. It was a Tommy Hillcat. I didn't know the Tommy Hillcat. I knew he was selling the house.
Yeah.
So I come down to visit, check out the house, house fly. We do the weekend shit. We up in these condos. This Atlanta condo game was different.
Yeah,
way different. Lived different down here. I'm like, oh, this is dope. Even the shit y'all
got. No, we on the high rise.
Yeah, you know, right, see how we doing. We on the
look at this,
all we see is rooftops of skyscrapers. So
Atlanta,
this is what it did. So I'm thinking, okay, this is big boy shit. Yeah. So I fuck with him. So I end up copping the spot from
Tommy Hill.
From Tommy Hill. But
I'm on a sidebar halfway.
No.
Because Tommy Hill was a cat that dudes knew was hot, from what my understanding. Let me not. I wasn't in the situation. I didn't say who said, but he doing this thing now.
That was afterwards.
Yeah. Okay.
That was afterwards. Right. He, like, once it got exposed, that's when he came and said, "Fuck it, I'm a rat." But what?
Mm.
That's what he said.
Okay.
Needless to say, I didn't fuck with him.
Okay.
At that point, all times and stuff. But me being from Boston.
You didn't know that.
Yeah, I just came up. Look, I did 10 years in prison.
Yeah.
I didn't do fed time.
Yeah.
I did it in Boston.
Yeah.
I came home from Boston.
Right.
Ended up in Miami.
Right.
Linked up with my brother. I'm doing my music shit. I'm hearing names. There's a whole bunch of rap.
A whole bunch of fucking music, man.
Right. I don't respect none of them niggas. Right. I'm like, fuck that. But I ain't got time to be looking at what the fuck you doing.
Right.
Where are these checks at?
Right.
So, it was just affiliation. The sad part about the time was, dudes didn't even care that they didn't do the homework on the nigga they introduced you to. They just introduced you to him. Because it makes them look good. Oh, I introduced you to Dre. Dre's a big money nigga. You a big money nigga. Where can I get mine?
Right, right.
And like, it's savagery. At the end of the day, that's what it was. That's what it was. So, I didn't know he was a rat. I ended up getting the credit from him. Associated with him a little bit.
And not illegally.
No, hell. See, I didn't have to be illegal at that time.
Okay.
See, it's things about my family dynamic that we didn't get have the time to get into, to where I was benefiting from. I got a brother named Andrew. I'm Andre. He's 18 months younger.
Biological.
He's my godbrother.
Okay.
But we grew up in the same house, kind of, because my mom was a single mom. His mom and his dad, my mom's best friend.
Okay.
So when I was born, before my dad was locked away, that was our family.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? Long story short, his name is Andrew. He's a, right now, he's a financial manager for 50, Eminem, Missy Elliott, Timberland, Anthony. I think he picked up Chris. What's the kid with Houston?
Chris Paul. Okay, late.
So that's my brother.
So you had some plug.
So I had some plug. So I was doing investments. He started with Maryland. So my brother was so established in the music shit that checks was flying, man. Like,
you had a passion for music because you was rapping.
Yeah, I was rapping before I got
out. It's crazy, like, backtracking so we can fast forward. You, basketball, drugs, rapping, prison. That's it. Like, you done covered it, bro. Like, that's it. Like, that's basically what, even if you didn't do one personally per se, those four things impacted everybody in our generation.
It's our culture.
Sure. But it takes a lot after the prison. Some people, prison is the last stop. It's dead after that.
Definitely.
You still come home and figure out another way. So, and when the music, you get home, some people grow up their whole life to be in the music industry. Don't make it, what happened? You go to prison, still come back and say, fuck it, I'm in the industry, right?
That's got to say, action social. Because everybody wants to be in music.
Mm-hmm.
Your godbrother, I'm sure he got a bunch of other people that are his cousins, godbrothers, godsisters, whatever. What is it about you? Like, what is it about you coming home that you think gives you the validity for people to extend their hand and help you instead of turning their back on you and give you those opportunities?
relationships. Like, the thing about it, and it's just sad, but it has a lot to do with what we were talking about, the brother talking about how money is the key to everything now. Because I had money before I got locked up, it sustained me during my incarceration, and it anticipated me upon my arrival.
So you was a money dude going in there and coming out?
Yeah, so it was like, my name with my name, it presented opportunity. And whether a person was there genuinely or opportunistically, they still carried me in a certain light. So I would hear about things that someone who didn't have that bread wouldn't hear about.
You could have been dead broke. They don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's the fact that you were known to have that check.
Yeah, that's all. There's a reputation thing.
That's what I thought. You know what I'm saying? But it's crazy because that shit matters. Like, your presentation matters.
Yeah,
you know, your past matters.
I'd say, not to cut you off, is that I've been in prison. I've come home broke. But no one knows you're broke. So as long as I still look like money, you know what I'm saying? Like I might have, I remember I came home one time, dead pop. Big Boy Rentals though. All the money I had every time, every couple weeks I got Big Boy Rentals.
Right.
I got a good pair of Tims,
yeah.
A pair of jeans, a few shirts.
Yeah.
Damn, it came home, still popping. But that's gonna give you that opportunity that you looking like a clown. You know what I'm saying? That you looking like, I never doing bad and fell off. Nah. But that's gonna give you the opportunity where you looking at me like I'm the link, but you got more than I got. You know what I'm saying? But in 6 months I'm gonna have more than you got because of my reputation for previous. You know what I'm saying? So that's the other shit, is that shit goes a long way. But if you know for being backtracked, you know for being a robber, a shiesty nigga, that precedes you too. Right. Niggas ain't fucking with you.
Nah,
no matter what you look like. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like if you know for getting money, that shit is the difference. So yeah, I hate it even for the hot niggas, but money rules all, bro. You know what I'm saying? And you know what's happening now? Instagram is turning into money. Instagram is a Bitcoin.
Could I just,
you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you don't know it, you don't know if it's real or not. But at the end of the day, that's what it is. You looking lit. We was talking about this before the camera was rolling. Ain't nobody doing bad on Instagram. That's why I like to get on Instagram.
Right.
Because everybody lit.
Follow,
you know what I'm saying? Like, ain't nobody doing bad. Ain't nobody woke up saying, I need $10 for gas this morning. Because it's perception. You know what I'm saying? But Instagram is a mirage. You know what I'm saying? Like nobody ain't doing that lit, bro. Like,
Instagram followers is backed by something. That's why it holds power. You know, it's backed by a motherfucker in that bucket.
It's backed by followers. But on your note, see, I said this, I've been saying this since damn near my first year of incarceration. It's power perceived, it's power achieved. And how I learned that was when I got in jail, I had a reputation. The brolic niggas, you go in prison, there's big brolic niggas in there. And they just want to fight, they never had nothing, they want to prove something, whatever. So, I was a basketball player, I wasn't no punk. It's niggas in jail, might be nicer with their hands, but they knew not to try because, not because I beat their ass or
big nigga.
No, it's not even that I beat their ass. It's because they were bigger than me. Niggas was curling 145. Yeah. Like, I'm like, what the fuck, nigga? This nigga got the place that niggas be doing this. These niggas on a long walk. I'm like, oh, okay. Power perceived is power achieved, homie. So, with that being said, like these people nowadays, they put in that perception, you use the word perception, and it's hollow, but it's also a hell of a tool. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and if leverage. You can manipulate that game, it's leverage. Okay.
It's what really, it's backed by
that's what the perception of money is doing for people nowadays, because I could be next to a motherfucker, he got all the bread.
Yeah.
Like, check this out. We on the podcast. Homie got the presidential one. He's busted. He's nice. See, I had to get him back because he's been swinging on me.
Yeah.
Right. So me and you, right. You his partner. But let Elaine not know nothing about us.
He got the bag.
That's what I'm saying.
He really got
the bag. Let Elaine know nothing about us.
Yeah.
But if Instagram saw us three.
Oh, man. I'm going to live this nigga.
Yeah.
And y'all got
and you just may be that.
I spent all my money.
But you may not be that. You feel what I'm saying? But that's the strength. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, and.
This and my jewelry can be fake.
Man.
It could be. It's not.
I doubt it. Look, man, let me tell you something, man. The bad part for you fake jewelry wearing motherfuckers, I'm going to tell you the bad part for you fake jewelry wearing motherfuckers. It's so much fake jewelry out here now that now you can look at the fake shit and know the difference between the fake shit and the real shit on a glimpse.
Because they now, go too heavy.
No. It's a lot of it out there, so niggas know what Fugazi is now. Like they used to slip a fake diamond ring in there every now and then, or a fake chain. Right. Now it's nine niggas with fake shit.
Right.
The lights come on, your shit's not working. Jury sleep. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah,
we know the difference. My man Jerry's working. It's just working.
Yo, but Atlanta
it's just working.
Introduced me to everything that glitters is not gold. I didn't understand that.
Let us smoke and mirrors.
Right, I didn't understand that. You know, I remember coming through the underground when I first got here. I came here on some rap shit.
Is underground around anymore?
Right. Okay. I walked through the underground. This is the era of the huge change.
Huge. Damn, underground, so when you use this?
Let's see.
Like 2008, but I
probably like, what, 08?
Okay.
08?
Okay.
Still, something like that. And,
motherfuckers are still getting the pieces made to shorty level.
I'm seeing.
Yep, D4L type drugs back in the day.
Growing, you thinking fake, when my thought of fake jewelry is your neck turns straight.
They used to say that never happened.
Right, but that's the level I'm thinking. Right? And then I go, I'm just getting introduced to Atlanta, I'm seeing rap shit, I'm into music, so I'm analyzing the game, I'm a student of the game, and I come across a jewelry store, and, you know, we come from going to the Coliseum, going Queens. To Canal Street, you know, there's no jewelry store selling fake jewelry, there's 10 karat shit, but there's no fake jewelry section.
Good.
So I go in there, and I'm looking at the and I'm looking at these big pieces. You're like, oh, this is not real over here.
Oh, when you go to the underground.
Yeah, and I'm like, what you mean it's not
real? So you sell real jewelry?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, so this is a fake piece, but it's still like $800.
For the fake piece. It's a good fake, like Moore's and Ike.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They introduced to me, they're saying, yo, these are Moore's and Ike. And then, you know, they're giving the picture, they give the normal motherfuckers like, yo, these.
Did they have Moore's and Ike in 08?
Yeah.
That's some new shit.
I'm going to go for that.
No, they did.
I know somebody who had the boys tonight. Somebody you know that had the boys tonight. I'll tell you later.
I got introduced to it, and then that made me look at shit different. You know what I'm saying? So when I'm watching award shows, when I'm watching red carpet events, when I'm out and about and I see the big joints, even if they're dancing, they might be dancing too good. Like, okay, that shit.
And I think you should pay. For the real one tonight, it's like you know, somebody go to Middle Mall, you might pay $300, you get a big chain. Right. Niggas used to pay thousands of dollars to get the good joint. Damn near passed the diamond tester.
Right.
But they fugazi as fuck. You know what I'm saying? Used to get them joints. Special made pieces with their name and all of that.
Right.
For the, what did Charlemagne say? Charlemagne says, nobody cares about the lie. The truth is more. Nobody cares the truth about if the lie is more.
But you know the problem. You know the flaw and all that bullshit is because that's really some bullshit, right? Ain't that justifying bullshit?
Yeah,
but it's true.
It is true. But the flaw in it is you.
It's today.
Because at night or in the morning when you gotta look at yourself in the mirror with that big stupid ass chain on, right? You know you're a liar. You know what I'm saying? And that ain't powerful to you. So you out here fucked up. Like, your soul is broke, B. Like, so you, something happened, right?
It ain't that maybe serious for you fake chain dude. Like, I know we on some other shit, but I'd rather wear nothing.
But you understand the point? The point is, as a man, as a human being, do you choose self-worth over perceived worth?
Of course. Like, at the end of the day, man, like, I don't give a... I'm glad. This is what I tell everybody. And I swear, I stand by this. Kevin, my witness, y'all get to know me, know my... First of all, I'm not lying to you motherfuckers. I'm not afraid of you.
Right, right.
You ain't stealing nothing from me.
Right.
Motherfucker, you gonna respect me. I'm a man. And I'm not gonna put no motherfucker, nothing out there just to entertain you in some corny ass way that's gonna diminish my feeling as a man in my heart, like in my soul.
Right.
My daughter gotta feel that and see that.
Right.
Your dog, your kids, I value my homies' kids like I value mine. Because that's legacy. They carry you forever.
They gonna tell like, story.
This
they
one thing with this promise is death.
Wow.
So what the fuck are you worth? If right now they think you got $1 million worth of jewelry on, then when you die and a nigga rob you for it and they find out that it was fake, and that die, that lie died that you, so they say, oh, remember such and such, the nigga used to, he died.
I heard who? About that recently.
Who?
Right,
the nigga used to wear the fake chain.
Yeah.
Oh, the nigga with all the fake chains?
Right.
He's dead?
I definitely heard about that recently.
You know what niggas out there. Real shit.
Come on.
Listen.
I like my guy.
It ain't that serious me wearing that bullshit. Yeah. So, what I'm saying is, alright, you live, you come back. Now, your first charge and your only charge, at the end of the day, is the only charge you did time for.
Yeah, the other one I beat.
That is real shit. You know what I'm saying? The only reason I say that is because it's hard to stay out of jail. You know what I'm saying? Like I can't say I did it. You know what I mean? It's hard to stay out of prison. And I respect it. That's one thing I can say, because it's hard. Once these people got a clamp on you, and the illest part about even the Boston system, it was the gift and the curse. The curse is you had to stay in jail that long, but you ain't come home on nothing. That parole, that probation,
I was in Miami 9 days later if I came home.
That's what I'm saying, with no
with
permission.
No, nothing.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Back to my point. In our culture, in our mindset, is trash ass Instagram society that is being embraced by our future. There is an okay factor that's telling our people that if you got money, you're my bro. If you got money, you can fuck me, not me. Pause. But the women are saying that.
Right, right.
Let's go on Instagram right now. Little homie, you got Instagram right now. We can go to any one of these girls, the top girls in the business, right? And on Instagram with followers, right? We'll go through 25 pictures of them. And I guarantee that the majority of the pictures that they take will be with their ass backwards instead of face forward. They're showing you their ass from the side, from the back, from the somewhere that you don't see that ass.
Right.
And that is a fucking problem, man.
It is a problem, but, right, perception. You know, this whole thing, this whole conversation we're having is really about the value of perception.
I'm getting too deep, I don't know why.
No. This is real shit. What we're all talking about is the value of perception or the lack thereof. Meaning, is perception a problem? But it's so crazy because the same things that help that hurt us help us. Because your perception of being a money guy coming home is what helped you.
That's true.
That's what helped you transition.
Well,
so, no, but see, that perception was actually reality. He actually had got money.
No, it was.
These dudes never had Christmas jewelry, and they got fake jewelry.
That's the whole
that's
point.
A different perception.
Saying,
you can perceive I had it because I once had it. He never had real jewelry.
That's the point of exactly what I was about to say. Your perception was based on something real.
Mm.
See, Instagram, all these other things, they allow people to base perception off nothing at all. And that's where the problem lies.
And everybody wants to be someone, and I get it.
Right.
And I'm not saying I got
all the time. Who doesn't want to be lit?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But I want to be lit. And I'm not chastising. I don't even know why I'm getting so, like, offended by it, but I feel like
because you aren't your
yeah, because you weren't
talking about your real shit. I'm,
you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy about this? Like, it's not even. I don't even have no personal animus. It's not about me, animosity. It's not about me. Education. That's another thing. Like, that's another thing. You know why I wrote a book? Because when I was away, I read 160. And you know why my book is 5-star rated right now? Because I analyzed the book I was reading. I didn't take it as the truth. I said, what about this book do this I like wrong. And what I dislike? And how can I make it good and make it work for me? Now, let me tell you why I wrote my book. Because I didn't like to read. I understood that the only way that I could get people like me who don't like to read. Right. I ran with gangsters, right. Drug dealers. Right. We ain't like to read.
Right.
But I realized it was a detriment because when I did my time, I did my time working on me. And this is my thing to every brother who's doing time, and sister out there doing time, you understand? It's like real talk. Like, stop reveling in giving the system the glory of feeling like they defeated you before the war's over. When they lock you up, they give you an opportunity. Not saying that they gave you an opportunity. I'm saying you have to take advantage of the opportunity to not allow them to do that to you again. Meaning, whatever you was doing before, you got to do it one of two ways. Stop doing it, or do it better. And the only way you do anything better in life is if you educate yourself.
Right. That was dope. And if, all right, go ahead. I was gonna say on the wrap up, I want you to explain all the things you got going on.
Okay.
Now. You wrote the book.
So what happened was I wrote the book. The book did well. I met a director.
Real quick, tell me where to get.
The book's, all right, so we're doing a re-release on an announcement of the series because the book is the direct namesake and about the series, they're linked.
Criminal
Incubation. Right. We're doing a re-release. We're closing the deal with HBO, basically Ninth Hour. It's going to happen. When that happens, we're going to re-release it. It's going to be everywhere. It's going to be...
Can they find the book right now? Or
only place you can find the book is Amazon because I won't reprint books. Okay. So they do the resale. They always seem to have them.
Okay.
But I have a label, Black Mass Music.
Record label.
Music, you know.
How many artists?
I have four artists. Just got out of meeting with L.A. Reid about one. We're pretty odd. We're gonna be odd. But in closing, I just want to say that, look, man, this ain't no glorification over. The brother brought me in here to validify to what they're doing as strong brothers, getting the word out there that the drug dealer's dream can be a drug dealer's reality. But let me tell you this: you're only a drug dealer if you're dealing drugs. You're a businessman if you don't deal in drugs. So all you drug dealers that used to deal in drugs and you was good at it, you're going to be a good businessman. Just deal with something else. Principles of hustle stay the same, only then change is the situation and the substance. Change the substance, get that paper.
Yeah. Another episode, Drug Dealer's Dream. Appreciate you.
My God, appreciate y'all, man. Invite me back. Black Mass Music. Yes, sir.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
What? 100%.
My God. Peace.